Thank you for tuning in and listening to Mount Carmel Church of God Radio Ministries, where we strive to connect you with relevant biblical teachings for the world we live in today. Now for today's broadcast with Pastor Tim Yoder.
All right. Father, we just come today just understanding that you are our Almighty God. Any prayers that we give to you is just a request from us, but you know what the answers are even before we request anything. Now, Father, we pray that you'd be with our service today, be with us, our pastors. He brings this message to us today. Father, we just thank you for these things and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Today is the second Sunday of the Advent calendar that we are doing. We're going to stand as a signal, and the passages are from Isaiah 11, 1 through 10, Romans 15, 4 through 13, Matthew 3, 1 through 12. They will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. On that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a signal to the peoples. The nations shall inquire of him, and his dwelling shall be glorious. We are the followers of that root of Jesse Isaiah spoke of. We are the ones who are now called to stand as a signal to the world, to all of creation, that peace is the will of the one who created us. Peace is the knowledge of the Lord that we proclaim from sea to shining sea. In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near, and bear fruit worthy of repentance." We light these candles, the candle of joyful hope and the candle of proclaimed peace, in part to remind ourselves that we are a people rising towards God's promise. But we also light them as a sign to the world, an announcement there are some who hold on to the hope, and there are some who work the ways of peace. We stand as a sign that Emmanuel is still our fervent prayer.
Singing. seated.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to be here this morning. It's good to be here. I want to start by thanking Pastor Johnny for taking last week and taking the pulpit. And I also want to thank all of you for allowing me to have a couple days to spend with my family over Thanksgiving. And we got to celebrate our Christmas as well together. So got to have a lot of fun times. It was a nice little breather before we get into this busyness of the Christmas season that seems to happen. But before we dive too far into today's message, let's go to the Lord in prayer and bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the opportunity we have to get together to praise and to worship you. Father, I ask that this morning it's your words that are spoken and not my own. Father, if I say anything that is not of you, may it fall on deaf ears. Otherwise, Father, we ask that these words penetrate even the hardest of hearts and that we remember that you are the reason for this season and that we seek you in all that we do. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You know, it's always a fun time of year in this particular time. It's that time between Thanksgiving and Christmas. We start seeing all the Christmas lights, all the different decorations. We start seeing everything come together, even here on this beautiful stage that's been set up. I love it. There seems to be this mood of joy that just seems to come out of people. Even out shopping this last week, people like heard people say, Merry Christmas. I started hearing people that had smiles on their face and excited to be out and about. People just seem really friendly and festive. There are the occasional Grinch in there, don't get me wrong. But for the most part, people are in a good mood. You see random acts of kindness throughout the community, and you start seeing this togetherness that we don't always see the rest of the year. We start seeing people coming together, and it just seems to bring out the good in most people when we get into the Christmas season. On top of that, things can quickly turn very chaotic, though, as well, and very hectic this time of year. We find ourselves running from one Christmas party to the next. Our schedules get so full that we often forget to take time to stop and breathe. We forget to take time to stop and remember the reason for the season. We start running around trying to find that perfect gift for that special someone, and we try to get something for everyone on our list. We go from 0 to 100 in a blink of an eye. One of my favorite movies this time of year is The Grinch. Just watched it last night with Jim Carrey. And they got this one scene that always stands out to me right in the beginning of the movie. It's that one where the clock strikes and someone yells out real loud and real quickly, 1 minute closer to Christmas, and everybody panics and starts running all over the place. And then you suddenly hear this one guy in a store yelling, for the next 5 minutes, 99% off everything. And people just flock and are pushing over each other. And when everyone starts running around all crazy, we see it pan over to little Cindy Lou who is handling so many presents that her dad just keeps stacking on top of her that she can't even see around it. And they have to take the middle present out to see her face. And she asks her dad, isn't this a bit much? Only for him to say, well, this is what Christmas is all about. But is it? You know, we laugh at this scene, but honestly, it's often how we act. We become so busy during the Christmas season that we forget the importance of it. You know, we get so carried away about having the right presents, about getting the most expensive gifts, about showing off to people, that we put ourselves into debt just trying to get that one more gift for someone. You know, we see ads everywhere, between TV, internet, emails, scrolling through Facebook, it doesn't matter. We see all these ads everywhere telling us what we need to buy our loved ones for Christmas, telling us what we need for our own lives to be happy, you know? Though our ads are often not 99% off, We do see a lot of 70% off. We see a lot of 70% off of different items and so forth. Now, call me a little crazy, but when I see 70% off, only thing that goes through my mind is that you're already charging me way too much if you can do 70% off. It gets us, though, because somewhere along the lines, we've gotten this idea that Christmas is nothing but about who can give the best gifts, how many gifts can we receive, and how much money do we spend. Yet when Christmas is done, what do we often hear? We hear people say it so often, wow, I'm glad that's over. Come December 26th, how many of you are ready to rip down your Christmas trees, all your decorations, and everything else? You know? That is so often. It's almost like we're saying, man, I'm glad Jesus' birthday's over with. We make it so busy that we honestly forget to enjoy the season of Christmas. We forget to enjoy the reason for the season. We miss the whole point of Christmas. We miss Jesus. We need to remember that Jesus is the reason for this season. We celebrate Christmas as a reminder of what Christ was willing to do. He entered this world the same as you and I. He was willing to come down, leave his place in heaven, take on the form of flesh, and face the same struggles you and I are. He was willing to live a life just like you and I do. And he was willing to ultimately die on the cross to pay the debt that we could never pay, making a way for us to be reunited with our Heavenly Father above. It tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:21, he made the one who did not know sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Even with us knowing all of this, so often we still miss Jesus and the whole point of Christmas. We get so wrapped up in things of this world that we forget to celebrate Christ at Christmas. Now, we're not the first people to miss Jesus. We're not the first ones who miss the Messiah. If we look over at the Bible and we look through the scriptures, we see it throughout the Old Testament, the Jewish people looking and waiting for their Messiah. There's been prophecies going on about the coming Messiah since Genesis. Did you know that there's over 350 different testaments, prophecies of the coming Messiah? Over 350 ones. And there is but one person who fits them all. And that was Jesus himself. These are the things that the Jews, the Israelite people, have been taught from one generation to the next about the coming Messiah. These are things that as little kids they would have learned throughout the scriptures. These are things that would have been taught in the synagogues and the schools, because they knew that the Messiah would eventually come, the Savior of the world, the Savior of the people. Yet when Jesus came, if we read through the New Testament, many missed him. They missed the very thing that they had been told to watch out for, the very thing that they were placing their hope in. They were placing their hope in the Messiah before he ever came because of the promises God had given them. But why? How would they miss that very thing they were looking for? The very thing they were placing their hope in. They missed him because they missed what God was saying to them. You see, they had an idea of God. They had an idea of what the Messiah would look like. But when they were looking for what they wanted. They weren't looking for what God told them would happen. They weren't looking at what God actually said the Messiah would do. We often miss Jesus this time of year because our focus is on things of this world and what we want and what we desire, instead of having our focus on the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. We can get so wrapped up in the world around us that we totally miss what God is doing around us. Christmas should be a time for us to reset and to remember that our Messiah has already came and that he has fulfilled the covenants and the promises that God made to restore mankind to himself. Do you guys remember when you were kids, the excitements of Christmas morning? I want you to think back for a minute. You wake up on Christmas morning having all the presents under the tree, and you can't wait to see what's underneath all those wrappings, right? All the pearliness, all the shiny wrappers. You knew that some of them were going to be socks and underwear. Let's be honest. We knew there was going to be socks and underwear inside of there. But you also knew you might have that new BB gun. Just don't shoot your eye out, kid. The other one is there might be a G.I. Joe. There might be some Barbies. There might be a toy car. Maybe a new video game system or a video game you've been wanting. Or some other gift that you've just been begging for. And you just knew it might be there. You know, you wrote out your Christmas list, and you were sure you were on the nice list. Let's be honest, we made sure we were nice and good, especially the 30 days leading up to Christmas. You didn't want to be on the naughty list. You wondered, though, were you going to get what you asked for? Did you get the one thing that you had your heart set on that morning? The people of Israel had their hearts set on the coming Messiah, but they had it set in such a way that they didn't get what they thought they would get. You know, I don't remember a lot of gifts that I got as a kid, but there is one year that I won't soon forget. You see, this one year, my parents had put out some presents before Christmas morning. And they were under the tree before Christmas morning. I looked and I saw there was a gift with my name on it. Now, I did something no kid should do. And if my parents are watching, they don't know this story yet. So, fair warning. I peeked at the one present with my name on it. See, I slowly unwrapped one end of it. And I tried ever so careful not to mess up the wrapping. I was able to peel the tape back in such a way that I would be able to place it back into position. Okay? And after a little bit of work, I was able to get the one end of the gift open. I was able to see the edge of the box. And let me tell you, I was excited. I was pumped up. I knew one of my gifts for Christmas before Christmas morning. And I had to keep it to myself. I couldn't touch it. And I was overjoyed with excitement because I knew what I was getting. I quickly tried to cover up the present. And I put everything back in its place. And I was able to put the tape back in. I was able to put everything into position where no one ever knew. You see, I knew what I was getting. I was getting this electronic circuit board. Yes, I'm a nerd. I'm okay with it. I was really pumped up. I was getting this electronic circuit board. One of those things that you can make different electrical currents through. You could power a little motor with it. You can make a little fan. You can make a light bulb go on. You could do all types of these really cool little things. I was excited. You could even make it do like little buzzing noises, make a little homemade doorbell system. I had plans for Christmas afternoon. That's all I'm saying. I had my plans. So, Christmas morning rolls around. And I go to open up a couple of the presents that were handed to me. Yep. Finally, it happened. I was handed the gift that I just knew what I was getting. And I was pumped. I was excited. I was already smiling ear to ear before I took the first piece of wrapping off of it. And guess what? I misread the label. Completely missed it. It wasn't even close to what I expected to be inside there. It was an electronic dartboard. Now, don't get me wrong, I enjoyed the gift and I had fun playing with it. But wow, did my Christmas afternoon change because of what I had expected. See, I had plans to build all these different circuits. I had this plans for all this fun that afternoon. So you can imagine to my surprise when I found out I didn't get the present that I thought I was getting for Christmas. My plans had to change. I misread the label. I didn't see what I thought I saw. And that's what happened at the time of Jesus. That's what happened to the leaders of Jesus' time, how they missed the coming Messiah. They misread the ultimate gift that God was giving the world. See, they picked and chose what they wanted to see. They picked and chose the scriptures that fit what they wanted out of the Messiah. And so often with our relationship with Christ, we do the same thing. We pick and choose what we want to see. We pick and choose the versions of Jesus that we like. We ignore the scriptures that don't fit our version of Jesus, and we stick to the ones we like. You know, at Christmas time last year, we did the Luke Challenge. And I want to encourage you guys, we're not doing it necessarily as a church this year, but today's Luke chapter 3. Go back and do it again. Each day, read a chapter of Luke. We often like to look at the baby Jesus version this time of year. I mean, who doesn't like a baby? But we need to remember that baby grew up, that he challenged us. He grew up and he died on the cross for you and I. That's the real gift of Christmas. And that's where our focus needs to be this time of year. Maybe it's a good time to repeat that Luke challenge, to remind us of the fact that our Savior came to this earth to give his life for you and I. That's what we're celebrating at Christmas. It isn't just about the little gifts. It's not about the fact that just this baby came into this world. It's what that baby came to do and how he grew up. You know, next year in January, we're going to start a new series called The Life of Christ. And what we'll be doing is we're going to be going through the entire life of Jesus and what the Bible tells us in chronological order. And we're going to be looking at his teachings and the stuff that even makes us uncomfortable. Because we need to understand what Christ came to do in fullness. What he taught and what he expects from us. When we look back at the leaders of Jesus' times and we look how they missed him, they missed the coming Messiah because he didn't fit what they were waiting for. If we look back at the time of Jesus, we know that in 63 BC, Pompey seized control of Jerusalem. And this began the Roman occupation and the control over Judea and the surrounding territories. Leading up to this, Israel had been constantly back and forth from being its own nation underneath its own control to being controlled by others. So for roughly 60-some years before Jesus was born, Rome had taken over the land and was controlling the people. And they had placed this heavy burden and tax on the people of Israel. And they expected when the Messiah would come that he would be an earthly king that would overthrow Rome or whichever country was persecuting them. They rejected Jesus because in their eyes he failed to do that. And they were looking for king, for a king like King David, a king like King Solomon. And in their eyes he failed to establish their eternal kingdom here on earth, as they had seen it, as Israel being the leading nation. They completely ignored the prophecies of Isaiah 53, Psalms 22, and the 300 and some odd other prophecies that tell us how the Messiah would suffer, how he would be persecuted and killed. But instead, the Jews chose to focus on the prophecies that discussed his glorious victories and not his victory over our sin. Because that's what they wanted. The Jews believed that the Messiah, the prophet, which Moses spoke about, would come and deliver them from bondage in the Roman sense, and to set up a kingdom where he would be the ruler instead of the Romans ruling over them. You know, even the disciples at first did not understand the kingdom in which God was talking about. The disciples following along with Jesus didn't understand that he was going to have to die. Jesus told him for the third time that he was going to have to die. And James and John came to Jesus and asked him a question in Mark 10, 35 through 37. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, approached him and said, "Teacher, we want you to do whatever we ask of you." Now, first off, that is some brazen there, going straight to Jesus and being like, "Hey, I want you to do what I ask. I haven't told you yet, but please just do it." And he asked, "What do you want for me to do?" he asked them. And they answered, "Allow us to sit at the right and on the left of your glory." See, they were still thinking of a worldly kingdom at this point. Asking to sit on the right and the left were the highest positions that you could have after a king. The right being the highest, and the left being the next to the highest. In their eyes, he was establishing an earthly kingdom, and they wanted to rule with him. When Jesus rode in on a donkey leading up to his crucifixion, the people around them thought that he was there to set them free, that he was sitting there to set up that earthly kingdom. And they shouted praises to God for the mighty work they had seen Jesus do. It tells us in Matthew 21, verse 9, the crowd who went ahead of him and those who followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven." They were treating him like a conquering king. Yet after he allowed himself to be arrested, tried, and crucified on a cross, many of the people stopped believing that he was the promised Messiah. And in fact, we know in Matthew 27, verse 22, it tells us, Pilate asked them, "What should I do then with Jesus who is called Christ?" And they answered, "Crucify him." They had an idea of the coming Messiah. Yet when he came, they missed him. They didn't see what God was doing. I think it's important to remember, though, not all of Israel missed the Messiah. The early church was made up of Jews, many of believers. Along with that, the good news is that many Jews today are still turning to Christ. The God of Israel has always been faithful to keep a remnant of believing Jews to himself. In the United States alone, there's an estimated over 100,000 Jewish believers in our nation. And the numbers are growing all the time. I bring all of this up this morning because we can get so wrapped up in the Christmas season. We have these expectations of who God is. We have these expectations of who Jesus is. And we keep our focus on that instead of what Christ really came to do. What he came to celebrate with us. And I want to make sure that this Christmas season, that we don't miss Jesus. That we don't miss what's important in life, in our relationships with him. Don't worry about having the best presents. Don't worry about spending the most money. Instead, focus in on how you can be the hands and feet of Jesus. How you can share Christ's love and what he came to do this time of year. What better gift than to give someone hope in our Savior? What better gift than to share the gospel good news with someone who doesn't know it? That is worth so much more than the gifts and the presents. I look back on my own life growing up, I don't remember a lot of the presents I got as a kid. There's a handful I remember. Yet I see parents year after year trying to buy every little trinket and so forth that they think their kids will like. Look back on your own life. How many of those presents do you actually remember? Wouldn't they rather have that time with you? Wouldn't they rather have that opportunity to grow in relationship? Don't miss what God's doing in your life. Don't allow the world to suck you in and take your eyes off Christ. Remember that first Christmas, there was no room at the inn. There was nothing fancy for Mary and Joseph. Yet that's where Christ was born, in a stable, surrounded by animals. And it was most likely a cave, if you want to know. It would have been mucky. It would have been dirty. It would have been nasty. But that's where Christ was born, in that stable, wrapped in swaddling cloth and laid in a manger. That our Savior came to this earth as humbly as can be. And he lived a life just like you and me. He faced troubles, he faced temptations, just like we do. The good news is, though, he overcame all of those. And ultimately, he humbled himself in the form of a servant and went willingly to the cross to pay the debt that he didn't owe. And that is the ultimate gift that we can get this Christmas season. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. Father, we thank you for this time of year and what Christ did up on that cross. Father, may we remember that gift that you gave us by sending your Son down to this earth to be an example, and to make a way for us to be reconciled to you. Father, may we not worry about having the best presents or the fanciest things. Instead, may we remember that the best present is what you gave us in your Son. And may we share that freely with all that we see this Christmas season. May we not miss you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As you go out this week, remember Jesus. He is the reason for this entire season and why we get to celebrate and come together with family and friends. So God bless. Have a great week. On another note, please do not forget to stay after. We've got a lot of food the way it looks. It's going to be a good time. Everyone is invited. Even if you didn't bring food, come and join us for some fellowship.
Thank you for joining us today from Mount Carroll Church of God Radio Ministries with Pastor Tim Yoder. We meet locally every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. for Sunday school and 10 a.m. for service. If this program has been a blessing to you, we would love to hear from you. We can be reached at mcchurchofgod.org or find us on Facebook at Mount Carroll Church of God, where you may also find a copy of today's broadcast. We look forward to hearing from you. Until next time, God bless. Have a great week.